On a cold February morning in Indianapolis, Tony Caritsas woke up, got dressed, loaded his sawed-off shotgun, and drove to his bank. He wasn't there to steal anything. He was there to take his life back. American Hostage is a new podcast starring me, John Hamm, that tells the true story of one man who channeled the rage of a nation and took justice into his own hands. Follow American Hostage wherever you get your podcasts, or you can binge all 8 episodes right now on Amazon Music or Wondery Plus.
At the United States Postal Service, we deliver fast and affordably for small biz, big box, large scale, wholesale, retail, B2B, B2C, ASAP. USPS, delivering for America. Learn more at usps.com/delivering.
Everybody, I'm Ed Robinson, and welcome to this special edition of At the Rim. This is the show that gets you caught up on anything and everything happening around the NBA. Coming up on this edition of the program, we have Nick Fay. He is the host of the Brooklyn Buzz, a Brooklyn Nets podcast, and a contributor for Off the Glass, which is a website dedicated to covering stories related to the NBA. We discuss the Nets' performance in the play-in tournament, Kevin Durant. Also, we talk Kyrie Irving, the keys to victory for Brooklyn to win the first-round playoff series against Boston, and much more. And also, we have Nick Agar-Johnson on the program. He's the co-host of the NBA Deep Dives podcast and a writer for No Ceilings, hashtag basketball, and Nets Republic. We preview the 2022 NBA playoffs first-round matchups. That's coming up on the program. But first, I want to start off with my top three storylines. I want to start off with NBA playoff ratings. The numbers just came in, and it is exciting. The NBA playoffs opened with its most-watched opening weekend in 11 years, and its most-watched opening weekend game in 20 years. The opening weekend of the NBA playoffs, this is according to SportsMediaWatch.com, the opening weekend of the NBA playoffs averaged over 4 million viewers across ABC, ESPN, and TNT, the largest audience for the first weekend of play since 2011. Viewership jumped 37% from last year when the playoffs began in late May, and 41% from 2019, the previous postseason to begin in April. Now, there was no opening weekend 2 years ago when the postseason began on a Monday in August. And also, as I mentioned earlier, the NBA playoffs had its most watched opening weekend game in 20 years. Sunday's Game 1 contest on ABC between the Brooklyn Nets and the Boston Celtics led the way with a 3.1 rating and 6.9 million viewers on ABC. Again, the most watched opening weekend game in 20 years. Of course, the last time this had happened was in 2002 when the Portland Trail Blazers and the Los Angeles Lakers played. That was a rating of 8.37 million. And it's the most watched first round game overall in 6 years. Of course, last was the 2016 Warriors and Rockets series, 7.24 million. So, man, like I said before, the NBA playoffs are red hot right now. This is a red hot time in sports right now in April. The NFL draft is right around the corner. The NBA playoffs are just heating up. Major League Baseball season is here. The Masters is in April. And, man, it's just a fun month. April is a fantastic month, one of the best months in all of sports. So kudos to the NBA and, of course, to the NBA playoff and those ratings. It's been a long time coming, but certainly it's a good thing that they opened up the playoffs on a weekend. And, man, kudos to them, because remember, when you have ratings, you have revenue. And when you have revenue, that opens up the floodgates to do so many different things with your platform. So kudos to, again, to the NBA playoffs for having its most watched opening playoff weekend since 2011, and its most watched opening weekend game in 20 years with Game 1 between the Brooklyn Nets and the Boston Celtics on ABC. My next storyline is going to be NBA playoffs matchup. So here we are. The NBA playoffs are underway. In the Eastern Conference first-round matchups, we have the Miami Heat and the Atlanta Hawks, followed by the Boston Celtics going up against the Brooklyn Nets, the Milwaukee Bucks going up against the Chicago Bulls, and the Philadelphia 76ers against the Toronto Raptors. Again, these matchups hey, you can toss it, you can pick it how you like it. It can go either way, no matter the circumstances. These are all worthy of being highlighted and featured matchups. And the Western Conference first-round matchups, the Phoenix Suns going up against the New Orleans Pelicans, the Memphis Grizzlies going up against the Minnesota Timberwolves, the Golden State Warriors going up against the Denver Nuggets, and the Dallas Mavericks going up against the Utah Jazz. Just like the East, the West has some ferocious matchups and then some. And I got to tell you again, just like the East, the West is definitely no slouch by any means of the imagination. Phoenix, New Orleans, Memphis, Minnesota, Golden State and Denver, Dallas and Utah. Again, you can slice it any way you want to. These matchups are definitely worthy of must-see TV. And again, if we had the NBA playoff ratings, if this was the most watched opening playoff weekend since 2011, we know for a fact the best can only get better and then some. And yeah, again, I know the playoff matchups are still early, and I think it's still a lot more games to be contested in both the Eastern Conference and the Western Conference, but these matchups are indeed going to be exciting. And for my last storyline is going to be Kyrie Irving. Now, Kyrie, as I mentioned, I've said this time and time again about Kyrie. He's a man of many moods. He's a man of many personalities. He's very dynamic. But one thing is for sure, Kyrie is one of the best ballers in the league. Skills unparalleled. When healthy, he is just unstoppable. But we also know about his unfaithful departure from the city of Boston when he played a short amount of time with the Boston Celtics. Kyrie in game one on Sunday against the Brooklyn Nets went up against the Boston Celtics. And let's just say that the fans gave it to Kyrie and Kyrie gave it back to the fans. And let's just say Kyrie exchanged unpleasantries with the fans by giving them the one finger salute. If you could put two and two together, you know exactly what I'm talking about. For several years now, Kyrie Irving and Boston Celtic fans have not liked each other at all. And I think what we have to understand is this. We understand that sports is not just a physical thing, but it's also a psychological thing as well. And while Celtic fans claim they had the upper hand on Kyrie, I think Kyrie had the upper hand on them. Again, Brooklyn losing a close one in game one, but Kyrie put up 39 points. Now, I'm the old school type of guy, whereas you don't let your emotions show. I don't care how many people heckle you. I don't care what people say about you. You shut them up by doing your thing on the court, on the field, whatever the case may be. If you give in to something like that, they're going to get you and then some. Now, do you have to fight back? Sure, sometimes you have to fight back. That's just a part of life. But overall, not in every situation. Again, we know that relationship has been volatile for quite some time, the way Kyrie left the organization, leaving the city of Boston. Fans have been riding on him ever since he left the organization. And we got to remember also, too, in terms of heckling, the NBA is the only professional organization where the fans have up close and personal on the players, on the action. It's not like the NFL, Major League Baseball, the NHL, and other sporting leagues where fans are kept at a distance from the players. In the NBA, you have that up close and personal access to the players. So fans, for better or for worse, can say what they want. They can heckle the players. Is it unfair? Yeah, it could be unfair at times, but I think, you know, you have to draw the line at some point. There have to be boundaries. And I think as far as the Kyrie situation is concerned, remember, the only way you'll quiet those fans is if you can not only get a win in Boston, but you can win the series. And remember, as they say, cool heads prevail in all situations. All right, when we come back from the break, I have an interview with Nick Fay. Nick is the host of the Brooklyn Buzz, a Brooklyn Nets podcast, and a contributor for Off the Glass, which is a website dedicated to covering stories related to the NBA. We discuss the Nets' performance in a play-in tournament when they beat the Cleveland Cavaliers. We'll also talk Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving. We'll also talk Ben Simmons, and we'll discuss the recent circumstances dealing with the Brooklyn shooting and the keys to victory for Brooklyn to win the first-round playoff series against the Boston Celtics. I'm Ed Robinson, and you're listening to At the Rim.
On a cold February morning in Indianapolis, Tony Caritsas woke up, got dressed, loaded his sawed-off shotgun, and drove to his bank. He wasn't there to steal anything. He was there to take his life back. American Hostage is a new podcast starring me, John Hamm, that tells the true story of one man who channeled the rage of a nation and took justice into his own hands. Follow American Hostage wherever you get your podcasts, or you can binge all 8 episodes right now on Amazon Music or Wondery Plus. On a cold February morning in Indianapolis, Tony Caritsas woke up, got dressed, loaded his sawed-off shotgun, and drove to his bank. He wasn't there to steal anything. He was there to take his life back. American Hostage is a new podcast starring me, John Hamm, that tells the true story of one man who channeled the rage of a nation and took justice into his own hands. Follow American Hostage wherever you get your podcasts, or you can binge all 8 episodes right now on Amazon Music or Wondery Plus. On a cold February morning in Indianapolis, Tony Caritsas woke up, got dressed, loaded his sawed-off shotgun, and drove to his bank. He wasn't there to steal anything. He was there to take his life back. American Hostage is a new podcast starring me, John Hamm, that tells the true story of one man who channeled the rage of a nation and took justice into his own hands. Follow American Hostage wherever you get your podcasts, or you can binge all 8 episodes right now on Amazon Music or Wondery Plus.
Hey, kiddo, how was the hill? Did you learn anything?
Yeah, that ripping pow induces spontaneous joy.
The Icon Pass lets you do you at 50 destinations worldwide from $249 adult. Drop in for next winter now and save at iconpass.com.
Hey, kiddo, how was the hill? Did you learn anything?
Yeah, that ripping pow induces spontaneous joy.
The Icon Pass lets you do you at 50 destinations worldwide from $249 adult. Drop in for next winter now and save at iconpass.com.
Keep boredom at bay in any room with reliably fast Wi-Fi throughout your home. All from Cox Panoramic Wi-Fi. Stream rom-coms in the kitchen, binge biopics in the basement, and take your online teammates where they've never gone before, the guest room. Say goodbye to searching for a signal. And hello to Cox Panoramic Wi-Fi. Click to learn more. Speeds vary and are not guaranteed. In some cases, Panoramic Wi-Fi pods sold separately may be required for extended coverage. Restrictions apply. Keep boredom at bay in any room with reliably fast Wi-Fi throughout your home. All from Cox Panoramic Wi-Fi. Stream rom-coms in the kitchen, binge biopics in the basement, and take your online teammates where they've never gone before, the guest room. Say goodbye to searching for a signal. And hello to Cox Panoramic Wi-Fi. Click to learn more. Speeds vary and are not guaranteed. In some cases, Panoramic Wi-Fi pods sold separately may be required for extended coverage. Restrictions apply.
No dejes que tu modem escoja dónde jugar online y dónde ver la TV. La cobertura Wi-Fi de Panoramic Wi-Fi de Cox llega a cada rincón de tu hogar. Así podrás hacer streaming de comedias románticas en la cocina, sumergirte en series sin fin en el sótano y transportarte a un nuevo destino cuando juegas online el cuarto de visita. Dile hasta luego a la lentitud y hola a Panoramic Wi-Fi de Cox. Haz clic para conocer más. Velocidades varían y no están garantizadas. En ciertos casos, los pods de Panoramic Wi-Fi vendidos por separado pueden ser necesarios para cobertura extendida. Aplican restricciones.
Hey, kiddo, how was the hill? Did you learn anything?
Yeah, that ripping pow induces spontaneous joy.
The Icon Pass lets you do you at 50 destinations worldwide from $249 adult. Drop in for next winter now and save at iconpass.com.
Keep boredom at bay in any room with reliably fast Wi-Fi throughout your home. All from Cox Panoramic Wi-Fi. Stream rom-coms in the kitchen, binge biopics in the basement, and take your online teammates where they've never gone before, the guest room. Say goodbye to searching for a signal, and hello to Cox Panoramic Wi-Fi. Click to learn more. Speeds vary and are not guaranteed. In some cases, Panoramic Wi-Fi pods sold separately may be required for extended coverage. Restrictions apply.
Hey, kiddo, how was the hill? Did you learn anything?
Yeah, that ripping pow induces spontaneous joy.
The Icon Pass lets you do you at 50 destinations worldwide from $249 adult. Drop in for next winter now and save at iconpass.com.
Keep boredom at bay in any room with reliably fast Wi-Fi throughout your home. All from Cox Panoramic Wi-Fi. Stream rom-coms in the kitchen, binge biopics in the basement, and take your online teammates where they've never gone before, the guest room. Say goodbye to searching for a signal and hello to Cox Panoramic Wi-Fi. Click to learn more. Speeds vary and are not guaranteed. In some cases, Panoramic Wi-Fi pods sold separately may be required for extended coverage. Restrictions apply.
On a cold February morning in Indianapolis, Tony Caritzis woke up, got dressed, loaded his sawed-off shotgun, and drove to his bank. He wasn't there to steal anything. He was there to take his life back. American Hostage is a new podcast starring me, John Hamm, that tells the true story of one man who channeled the rage of a nation and took justice into his own hands. Follow American Hostage wherever you get your podcasts, or you can binge all 8 episodes right now on Amazon Music or Wondery Plus. On a cold February morning in Indianapolis, Tony Caritzis woke up, got dressed, loaded his sawed-off shotgun, and drove to his bank. He wasn't there to steal anything. He was there to take his life back. American Hostage is a new podcast starring me, John Hamm, that tells the true story of one man who channeled the rage of a nation and took justice into his own hands. Follow American Hostage wherever you get your podcasts, or you can binge all 8 episodes right now on Amazon Music or Wondery Plus. On a cold February morning in Indianapolis, Tony Caritzis woke up, got dressed, loaded his sawed-off shotgun, and drove to his bank. He wasn't there to steal anything. He was there to take his life back. American Hostage is a new podcast starring me, John Hamm, that tells the true story of one man who channeled the rage of a nation and took justice into his own hands. Follow American Hostage wherever you get your podcasts, or you can binge all 8 episodes right now on Amazon Music or Wondery Plus.
Hey, kiddo, how was the hill? Did you learn anything?
Yeah, that ripping pow induces spontaneous joy.
The Icon Pass lets you do you at 50 destinations worldwide, from $249 adult. Drop in for next winter now and save at iconpass.com.
Your business is important to you. And the best way to improve your business is to improve the lives of your people. UKG develops HR and workforce management solutions designed to take care of your employees. Because when they feel supported, connected, and appreciated, your business will transform from a workplace into a work of art. UKG, our purpose is people.
Hey, kiddo, how was the hill? Did you learn anything?
Yeah, that ripping pow induces spontaneous joy.
The Icon Pass lets you do you at 50 destinations worldwide, from $249 adult. Drop in for next winter now and save at iconpass.com.
Hey, kiddo, how was the hill? Did you learn anything?
Yeah, that ripping pow induces spontaneous joy.
The Icon Pass lets you do you at 50 destinations worldwide, from $249 adult. Drop in for next winter now and save at iconpass.com.
Hey, kiddo, how was the hill? Did you learn anything?
Yeah, that ripping pow induces spontaneous joy.
The Icon Pass lets you do you at 50 destinations worldwide, from $249 adult. Drop in for next winter now and save at iconpass.com.
Oh, hey, kiddo. How was the hill?
Educational.
Oh, learned a new trick?
Yeah, the trick to a happy, fulfilling life, maybe. I learned that mountain air unleashes my inner peace. And ripping pow, well, the whole crew's all, yoo, induces spontaneous joy.
Okay, that's nice.
The Icon Pass lets you do you at 50 destinations worldwide, from $249 adult. Drop in for next winter now and save at iconpass.com.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. The Brooklyn Nets are in the NBA playoffs as they punch their ticket into the playoffs after beating the Cleveland Cavaliers in the play-in game in the 2022 NBA play-in tournament. Of course, Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, and others handling their business, beating Cleveland in the play-in tournament to earn a bid in the playoffs to take on the Boston Celtics in the first round of the NBA playoffs. To talk more about their performance in the play-in tournament and the other stars on the Nets, on the Brooklyn Nets, as well as other things going on in Brooklyn, we want to welcome a contributor to Off the Glass, which is a website dedicated to covering everything related to the NBA. And also, he's the host of the Brooklyn Buzz, which is a Brooklyn Nets podcast provided by Blue Wire Pods. Let's welcome him to the program, Nick Fay. Nick, welcome to the program.
What's up, Ed? How we doing?
All is well, sir. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. So let's get right to it. As I alluded to in the intro, the Nets punched their ticket into the NBA playoffs by winning the play-in game in this year's play-in tournament by beating the Cleveland Cavaliers. Overall, how would you grade the Nets' performance in the play-in tournament?
I would probably give it, B+, because at the end of the day, they got the job done. It wasn't necessarily the best performance of basketball. You know, they played really well in that first quarter, gave themselves a solid lead, and for the rest of the game, they were pretty much mediocre. So it was just kind of they handled business early in that one, got that 20-point lead, and just kind of made shots when they needed to. I think, you know, it kind of is almost a great summary of the season for the Nets, is because there's flashes of this greatness in championship-level basketball, but then there's also stretches of, like, man, like, does this team even belong in the playoffs?
Yeah, it seemed it looked that to me as well, Nick. And, you know, Brooklyn, we know what they're capable of doing. But like you said, there's flashes of the greatness, but then there's also their flashes. It could be mediocre at best. But nevertheless, they were able to take care of their business and beat Cleveland in the play-in tournament to earn a spot in the playoffs, 115-108. I want to get now to the other stars on this team. I want to start off with Kevin Durant. During the regular season, he averaged almost 30 points per game. He was in the top 10 in the league in points per game. Of course, Joel Embiid from the Philadelphia 76ers would go on to win the scoring title. Give me your thoughts on Kevin and his performance during the regular season this year.
Yeah, I mean, Kevin was great. You just look at the Nets' record when he was out, and it was terrible. You know, they had that 11-game losing streak when Kevin Durant wasn't playing. And if KD did, you know, hypothetically play the whole season, the Nets would have been at a 50-win pace, and they would have, you know, not had to be in the play-in tournament. So KD really played at an MVP level this season, and he filled a ton of different roles for this team. You know, early on, it was a ton of scoring. But then as the season progressed and we got into the later portions closer to the postseason, you really started to see a lot of different defensive looks and really forced Kevin Durant to be the best passer that he's been in his career. You know, I believe he had a career year in terms of assists per game and just was really able to make his teammates better. And then also when his offensive load is alleviated, you see, you know, defensive greatness, his ability to block shots, be a versatile defender, get his long arms in those passing lanes. So really, KD was great for this team, and it's especially in a year where there was a ton of drama and hiccups and different things that you couldn't really predict to, you know, the Kyrie Irving's absence, part-time play, and you know, the whole James Harden saga, to even, you know, receiving Ben Simmons in the trade and him not really being able to play at all this season. So a lot of pressure was put on KD to perform this year, and he checked all the boxes for me.
Rightfully so. And you mentioned about chaos and drama. Kyrie Irving is a man of many moods. He can be a revolutionary. He can also be very interesting. But one thing is for sure, he is a certified superstar. And then some. Of course, you mentioned about him only being a part-time player this year because of the vaccine mandate that was in place in New York City. And now Mayor Eric Adams recently lifted the mandate only for entertainers. So Kyrie was only able to play in a few home games towards the end of the regular season. But when he was able to play on the road, he was so effective, and it made the big difference. Give me your thoughts on Kyrie and his play during this season.
Yeah, I mean, for a guy that went from not playing in the NBA to going part-time to then going to full-time, he's really been awesome. You know, just the ability to still play at a high level with having to take, you know, a week off at a time and then jumping back into an NBA game when he was part-time. And then when it became full-time, you know, there was a few hiccups, I think, with fatigue, especially on back-to-back, you know, body adjusting. But as you saw in the play-in game and as you saw in game one against Boston, he's fully in sync, fully in rhythm, and playing some of the best basketball of his career. You know, almost 70 points between the play-in game and game one, and, you know, I think maybe less than 10 missed shots.
All right, definitely. Kyrie is definitely a difference maker during his short time with the Brooklyn Nets. I want to talk now about Andre Drummond. We know Andre is somebody who's one of the premier big men in the league. We know what he did during his time in Detroit, short runs in Cleveland and L.A. and then in Philly, and then he winds up in Brooklyn. And we see I've seen a major difference in him in a short amount of time with Brooklyn, as, of course, coming through the deal with the Ben Simmons and the Seth Curry and, of course, with the James Harden and Paul Millsap trade. I mean, he's made a world of difference in terms of the rebounding and definitely getting points in the paint. Give me your thoughts on Andre and his short stint this year with Brooklyn.
Yeah, I think Andre Drummond is probably one of the most polarizing players on the roster in terms of you get these great moments where he looks like he could be, you know, one of the better big men in the NBA with just his physical ability in terms of just the size he is and the way that he can move. And then there's other plays where there's just, you know, lack of effort, mental mistakes, and just really not being fully engaged and playing to the best of his ability. So it's been, you know, some hot and cold, but given the net situation in the big man department, he brings a different type of physicality that they just haven't really had in a long time. So you see matchups where he can be really effective and then other matchups where, you know, it could be a little bit of a problem. You know, you saw yesterday in game one against Boston, defensively, he had issues on the floor, especially with the style of offense in which Boston plays, and having even a perimeter big man like Al Horford, a guy willing to take some of those 3-point shots. It's when you really get Drummond moving defensively is where some of the issues pop up. So it's going to be interesting to see what his role is like the rest of the series.
Awesome. I want to move along now to someone else that was brought to Brooklyn in the trade deadline from Philly, Seth Curry. We know Seth comes from a great pedigree. We know his older brother, Steph. We can go on and on about him, but Seth is just as great in his own right as well. Seth has become one of the solid shooters in the league, known for his long-distance shooting and being clutch when necessary. Give me your thoughts on how Seth has played during this season since his short time with Brooklyn.
Yeah, was a much-needed addition, especially with Joe Harris going down early in the season. The Nets desperately needed another elite three-point shooter. You know, Patty Mills was able to fill that role for a little bit, but Seth is just, you know, a couple tiers higher as an offensive player because he's not really just a three-point shooter. He's great from mid-range. He can handle the ball a little bit. He can make the right passes. You know, defensively, he's not great, but he understands how to play his role. And he's been a great addition to the team and also just providing a little bit more spacing for, you know, Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. The biggest concern with Seth right now is he's been dealing with an ankle injury for essentially the last month or two of the season. And it's something that's not really going to heal until he's able to get a month of rest or something along those lines. So it's just kind of monitoring his health and seeing where he's at.
All right. And you mentioned his name earlier, Patty Mills. Patty is one of the veterans on the Brooklyn roster that has really kept them afloat this year. He finished in the top 10 in three-point percentage and also in three-point field goals made. And, of course, he's an NBA champion being a member of the San Antonio Spurs. I got to ask you, give me your thoughts on Patty and his play this season.
Yeah, Patty was huge. You know, he was asked to fill a role that he didn't sign up for, especially with all of the James Harden stuff, the part-time Kyrie stuff, and just some of the other issues on the roster. He played a ton of minutes this year, and he was great. And, you know, there was a little bit of a stretch, February, March, and some of April, where he really struggled, but it was a lot of fatigue, and it's nice to see him finally start to find his rhythm again late in the season in the play-in, you know, knock down a three yesterday. A great veteran, a great leader on this team, and just provides, you know, a spark of energy when he's out there. And he just does a lot of things that you love to see from a basketball player. And like I said, there was that rough patch, but he still just is the constant professional that you want with your organization.
All right, and I want to move along now to you mentioned his name on a few occasions, and that's Ben Simmons. We know Ben is one of the premier defenders in the league, and he's got the potential to be a great NBA player. We saw flashes of it in Philly, and we saw how that whole thing just went chaotic, and then the trade happened for Harden. Simmons comes to Brooklyn, and we still have yet to see him play this year. He hasn't played in over a year, still dealing with the back issues. This is a two-part question, Nick. I want to ask you, what were your thoughts to the trade with Ben coming to Brooklyn? And second question is, what do you think he brings to the table when he's able to be healthy as a member of the Brooklyn Nets?
Yeah, this is a great question. I think, you know, given the situation with James Harden, you know, be it his decline as a player, but also him wanting out, being able to receive a player like Ben Simmons back in a trade is huge. And then also getting the complimentary pieces and, you know, Steph Curry, Andre Drummond, and a few draft picks. I think as a Nets fan, you have to love that package coming back because of the way Harden was acting and the way he was playing. You know, obviously he purposely didn't play well in a couple games at the end of his Brooklyn tenure. So it's good that they were able to still receive, you know, great players and great assets for him, even with him not playing at his best level. In terms of what Ben can bring is Ben can bring a lot to this team in terms of what they need. They need an elite defender. He can be that guy. He's a guy that you can throw on essentially, you know, 1 through 5. You can put him on some of the best wing players in the NBA, provides you a level of rebounding, provides you another great athlete on the floor, somebody who's extremely versatile defensively, but also offensively can do some different things given he'll be playing next to KD and Kyrie and Steph Curry and, you know, Joe Harris potentially next year in terms of, like, he's not going to be asked to shoot the ball. He's going to be asked to set things up, finish dunks, roll to the rim, and do some of the dirty work. So almost on paper, this might be the perfect role for Ben Simmons if he's able to get healthy and just find his groove with his team.
I want to stay with Ben just for a moment. You said that he will be able to score points by doing the dirty work. He won't have to worry about that as a result with KD, Kyrie, also along with Seth and then with Joe Harris coming back next year. Then you've got Goran Dragic in the mix as well. Do you think Ben needs to be a complete player if he develops an outside shot? That was really the big weakness to his game when he was in Philly. He couldn't work on the outside shot. Do you think if he develops that outside shot, do you think he'll be even a stronger force for Brooklyn next year?
Yeah, I mean, if he develops that outside shot, I think him as a player, his ceiling raises substantially because it just opens another element to his game, because we're talking about a guy that is 6'8", 6'9", moves like a guard, is an elite athlete, and can really just create a lot of mismatches because, you know, the smaller guys are too small for him and the bigger guys just can't move like him. So if he's able to put pressure on a defense from the three-point line, it just opens up so many different things for him. You know, he has worked on a three-point shot a little bit. We've seen a couple clips posted by the Nets with him working on some mid-range stuff as well. I don't think we could anticipate it happening over a year, but progressively maybe over the next couple seasons it could be a thing. But at the end of the day, if he never develops a jumper, I still think he has, you know, potential to be, you know, a top 25 player in this league just because of how he can excel in so many other areas and put in the right situation. And as we know in Philadelphia, they have Joel Embiid, you know, the best center in the NBA or arguably the best center, and there wasn't room to operate in the paint when Joel was on the floor. So now in a situation where the Nets don't really have that presence, yeah, they have Andre Drummond, but he's not necessarily a long-term piece or somebody that you need to play huge minutes. So there's just a different type of opportunity on the floor for Ben Simmons. And again, just the amount of gravity a guy like Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant and even the shooting of Seth and Joe can provide would just allow him to play with such an open floor that he really hasn't played with in years. You know, there was a couple stretches in Philadelphia where Joel was out and they went small and there was a lot of spacing. But other than that, it was just a lot of clutteredness and just lack of space for him to operate.
All right. And, you know, before we get back to basketball, I know a lot of people know about the recent circumstances dealing with the Brooklyn shooting and whatnot. I know, can correct me if I'm wrong, Nick, the shooting had taken place just a few blocks from where the Brooklyn Nets practice. I want to ask you what, you know, going forward with the home playoff games, what security measures have been taken in terms of making sure people feel safe at Barclays, and also what have the Nets done anything in terms to deal with the recent circumstances dealing with the whole chaos that happened in the borough?
Yeah, I mean, I believe it happened actually the day of the playing game, and obviously, you know, best wishes to everybody that was involved, and hopefully everyone is doing better. From my understanding, there was no deaths, so that's always a positive. But again, you know, just created a huge, you know, fear and shock and sadness in the city. From my understanding, you know, the city has really upped their security, and at Barclays Center for games, there's been an increased amount of, you know, armed security in terms of, you know, the police force being there around Barclays Center. The Nets had a moment of silence before the game started in that play-in game. So the team is definitely Barclays Center and New York City have definitely taken measures to make people feel more comfortable and safer in regards to that. So, you know, hopefully everything goes smoothly moving forward.
All right, solid. And let's get back into basketball now. So now we know that Brooklyn and Boston, they had a game one for the ages. Kyrie Irving, man, what can you say about him? 39 points, outstanding game. KD struggled, looking to hopefully go onward and upward for the remainder of the series. So I got to ask you, what are the keys to victory for Brooklyn, in your opinion, to win the series against the Boston Celtics?
You look at the game, and I wouldn't say Brooklyn played well throughout four quarters. You know, there were spurts the second quarter and the fourth quarter. There were some great moments, but in that first quarter, the way it started, a lot of mental mistakes, a lot of sloppiness, and you could say the same thing with the third quarter, where you could argue that run Boston had to start the third lost the Nets the game. And I think the real keys for them is not to have these stagnant, sloppy stretches where they have these mental mistakes, they have these turnovers, and allow the other team to get on a run and take themselves out of rhythm. I think they just need to be focused and engaged and locked in for 48 minutes or at least close to it, and just remove some of these bonehead plays. And we saw a lot of them yesterday for a team, like we talked about early on, you know, they can play at a championship level, but they also can play at a low level. And there's just some mistakes you see from the Brooklyn Nets in a playoff game that aren't acceptable. You know, one that sticks out from yesterday is, you know, there was an inbound pass and no one came back to get the inbound, and Boston was able to force a turnover and grab a free 2 points, which is arguably the difference in the game. Or just, you know, at times lack of urgency. You know, on the fast break, KD throws the ball to Bruce Brown. He goes for a slow layup and Jaylen Brown comes in and sends it. You know, in that situation, you have to be urgent. You have to attack with a level of force, go up for the dunk and make sure you're getting that ball through the hoop or getting to the free throw line. So I think, you know, just playing engaged and playing playoff level basketball for an entire game is the key to the Nets, because I think their talent alone covers up a lot of mistakes and some of the issues that they're not going to be able to correct, but they just have to be focused and engaged and at least make things relatively difficult for the Celtics. There's just too many possessions where, you know, they're not set up defensively or there's a miscommunication and there's no help under the rim. Those things just can't happen in the playoffs.
Rightfully so, and definitely they were tested in the first game, and hopefully they can get back to winning ways, because this is definitely going to be a long series between these two teams. And again, Nick, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. Just tell everybody what you do over at Off the Glass, and also you're the host of the Brooklyn Buzz, a Brooklyn Nets podcast. Tell everybody what you do over with the Brooklyn Buzz.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me on, Ed. This was great. Always fun talking Nets basketball, and do great work with the show. You know, in OTG basketball, I do a little bit more behind-the-scenes stuff. If you want to hear more of my opinions, definitely check out the Brooklyn Buzz, which you can find on all streaming platforms. I host that with Jack Manuel. We recap after every single Nets game. We react to every bit of Nets news that's out there. So constantly posting content on there. And you can always find me on Twitter at Nick_Fay_. And always post the Nets clips, comments, whatever it is. Any type of Brooklyn Nets, you know, information you're looking for, or you just want to, you know, ask a question, throw a topic at me, a hot take, whatever it is, feel free to reach out.
Awesome. And again, tell everybody where they can find you on social media, as well as Off the Glass, the Brooklyn Buzz, and any websites that you have. Let the listeners know that as well.
Yeah, you can check out OTGBasketball.com. And like I said, my Twitter name is Nick_Fay_. You can find me on Twitter and Brooklyn Buzz. You know, type it into any, you know, podcast streaming platform and we should pop up right there. So that's where you can find me.
Awesome. And you heard it from him. He is Nick Fay. He's a contributor to OTG Basketball. That's Off the Glass, where they cover anything and everything related to the NBA. And he's the host of the Brooklyn Buzz, which is a Brooklyn Nets podcast, brought to you by Blue Wire, which is the sports media network, giving you all your podcasts that you need. Nick, thank you so much, my man, for coming on the program. And if ever you want to come back on, just feel free to let us know.
No problem, Ed. My pleasure. Thank you.
You're welcome. Be back with more right after this.
145 over 92.
180 over 111.
182 over 100. And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest and then a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure looks like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a heart attack or stroke are far from invisible or silent.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
I can't button up a shirt. I can't run.
I've had to learn to swallow again.
That's the only movement that I have. And I'm 33, so I never see this coming.
If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
Had I done this, had I done that,
hell, I messed up.
Get back on your plan, or talk with your doctor to create an exercise, diet, and medication plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Head to toe, everything's changed. Head to toe.
Oh, hey, kiddo. How was the hill?
Educational.
Oh, learn a new trick?
Yeah. The trick to a happy, fulfilling life, maybe. I learned that mountain air unleashes my inner peace. And Rip and Pow, well, the whole crew's all, yoo! Induces spontaneous joy.
Okay, that's nice.
The Icon Pass lets you do you at 50 destinations worldwide from $249 adults. Drop in for next winter now and save at iconpass.com.
Oh, hey, kiddo. How was the hill?
Educational.
Oh, learned a new trick?
Yeah, the trick to a happy, fulfilling life, maybe. I learned that mountain air unleashes my inner peace. And Rip and Pow, well, the whole crew's all, yoo! Induces spontaneous joy.
Okay, that's nice.
The Icon Pass lets you do you at 50 destinations worldwide from $249 adult. Drop in for next winter now and save at iconpass.com.
Oh, hey, kiddo. How was the hill?
Educational.
Oh, learned a new trick?
Yeah, the trick to a happy, fulfilling life, maybe. I learned that mountain air unleashes my inner peace. And Rip and Pow, well, the whole crew's all, yoo! Induces spontaneous joy.
Okay, that's nice.
The Icon Pass lets you do you at 50 destinations worldwide from $249 adult. Drop in for next winter now and save at iconpass.com.
Oh, hey, kiddo. How was the hill?
Educational.
Oh, learned a new trick?
Yeah, the trick to a happy, fulfilling life, maybe. I learned that mountain air unleashes my inner peace. And Rip and Pow, well, the whole crew's all, yoo! Induces spontaneous joy.
Okay, that's nice.
The Icon Pass lets you do you at 50 destinations worldwide from $249 adult. Drop in for next winter now and save at iconpass.com.
I might lean back with my feet on the desk to look calm, but in my head, I'm wondering, how do I deal with the business side of my new sneaker business?
Hey, it's me, your voice of reason, telling you to get QuickBooks.
Something's telling me I should get QuickBooks.
So you can get paid, run payroll, and know where your business stands from the start.
So I can get paid, run payroll, and know where my business stands from the start.
Now focus on your anniversary, which is tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
New business, no problem. Success starts with Intuit QuickBooks. QuickBooks payroll, QuickBooks payments, and QuickBooks online account required.
Get 30% shorter average wait time when you buy and book online at DiscountTire.com. Discount Tire. Let's get you taken care of.
On a cold February morning in Indianapolis, Tony Caritzis woke up, got dressed, loaded his sawed-off shotgun, and drove to his bank. He wasn't there to steal anything. He was there to take his life back. American Hostage is a new podcast starring me, John Hamm, that tells the true story of one man who channeled the rage of a nation and took justice into his own hands. Follow American Hostage wherever you get your podcasts, or you can binge all 8 episodes right now on Amazon Music or Wondery Plus.
Stop avoiding your erectile dysfunction issue. Peak Performance for Men is offering your best offer yet. Call today to book your free consultation and free blood flow evaluation. 1-800-210-8181. Peak Performance for Men helps over 80% of men who receive the treatment experience long-term improvement. Let the experts at Peak Performance for Men help you today. All it takes is one phone call for a free consultation. Free blood flow evaluation. Call 1-800-210-8181. That's 1-800-210-8181. Stop avoiding your erectile dysfunction issue. Peak Performance for Men is offering your best offer yet. Call today to book your free consultation and free blood flow evaluation. 1-800-210-8181. Peak Performance for Men helps over 80% of men who receive the treatment experience long-term improvement. Let the experts at Peak Performance for Men help you today. All it takes is one phone call for a free consultation. Free blood flow evaluation. Call 1-800-210-8181. That's 1-800-210-8181.
¿Con Prime recibes bombillas en un día? Edison estaría orgulloso.
Orgullosísimo.
Recibe rápido los esenciales diarios. Prime, lo cambia todo.
Stop avoiding your erectile dysfunction issue. Peak Performance for Men is offering your best offer yet. Call today to book your free consultation and free blood flow evaluation. 1-800-210-8181. Peak Performance for Men helps over 80% of men who receive the treatment experience long-term improvement. Let the experts at Peak Performance for Men help you today. All it takes is one phone call for a free consultation. Free blood flow evaluation. Call 1-800-210-8181. That's 1-800-210-8181.
All right, everybody, once again, a big special thank you to Nick Fay, host of the Brooklyn Buzz, a Brooklyn Nets podcast, and a contributor for Off the Glass, a website dedicated to covering the NBA. Thanks again to Nick for giving us insights on the Brooklyn Nets and what they plan to do going forward in the first-round playoff series against the Boston Celtics. Coming up next after the break, we have Nick Agar-Johnson, co-host of the NBA Deep Dives podcast and a writer for No Ceilings, hashtag Basketball, and Nets Republic. We preview the 2022 NBA playoffs first-round matchups. I'm Ed Robinson, and you're listening to At the Rim.
On a cold February morning in Indianapolis, Tony Kuritsis woke up, got dressed, loaded his sawed-off shotgun, and drove to his bank. He wasn't there to steal anything. He was there to take his life back. American Hostage is a new podcast starring me, John Hamm, that tells the true story of one man who channeled the rage of a nation and took justice into his own hands. Follow American Hostage wherever you get your podcasts, or you can binge all 8 episodes right now on Amazon Music or Wondery Plus.
Stop avoiding your erectile dysfunction issue. Peak Performance for Men is offering your best offer yet. Call today to book your free consultation and free blood flow evaluation. 1-800-210-8181. Peak Performance for Men helps over 80% of men who receive the treatment experience long-term improvement. Let the experts at Peak Performance for Men help you today. All it takes is one phone call for a free consultation. Free blood flow evaluation. Call 1-800-210-8181. That's 1-800-210-8181.
Hey, kiddo, how was the hill? Did you learn anything?
Yeah, that ripping pow induces spontaneous joy.
The Icon Pass lets you do you at 50 destinations worldwide from $249 adult. Drop in for next winter now and save at iconpass.com.
I might lean back with my feet on the desk to look calm, but in my head I'm wondering, how do I deal with the business side of my new sneaker business?
Hey, it's me, your voice of reason, telling you to get QuickBooks.
Something's telling me I should get QuickBooks.
So you can get paid, run payroll, and know where your business stands from the start.
So I can get paid, run payroll, and know where my business stands from the start.
Now focus on your anniversary, which is tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
New business? No problem. Success starts with Intuit QuickBooks. QuickBooks Payroll, QuickBooks Payments, and QuickBooks Online Account required.
On a cold February morning in Indianapolis, Tony Kuritsis woke up, got dressed, loaded his sawed-off shotgun, and drove to his bank. He wasn't there to steal anything. He was there to take his life back. American Hostage is a new podcast starring me, John Hamm, that tells the true story of one man who channeled the rage of a nation and took justice into his own hands. Follow American Hostage wherever you get your podcasts, or you can binge all 8 episodes right now on Amazon Music or Wondery Plus.
¿Necesita ayuda para pagar su factura de energía? Los inquilinos y propietarios de vivienda en el condado de San Joaquín que califican para el programa HEAP también pueden calificar para la climatización del hogar gratuita, como la reparación o el reemplazo del refrigerador, el calentador de agua, la unidad de calefacción, aire acondicionado y más. Visite www.sjchsa.org/assistance o llame al 209-468-1500, 468-1500.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. The 2022 NBA playoffs are here, and they have gotten off to a great start. And someone that has come on the show on quite a regular basis to preview the NBA playoff matchups, these first-round matchups to be exact, is someone that knows his basketball very well, and we want to welcome him to the program. He is a writer for No Ceilings NBA, also hashtag basketball, and Nets Republic, and the host of the NBA Deep Dives podcast. Let's welcome him back to the program, Nick Agar-Johnson. Nick, what's going on, my man? Thank you for coming back on.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me back on. Always great to talk about basketball with you, and obviously with the NBA playoffs just starting, now is a great time to be talking about basketball.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, sir, for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. So let's jump right to it. We are in the first round of the 2022 NBA playoffs. Let's start off in the Eastern Conference, the Miami Heat, who is the number one seed in the East, going up against the number eight seed, the Atlanta Hawks. So we've got Atlanta. We know about Trae Young. John Collins, for the moment, is still hurt. We've also got Danilo Gallinari and Clint Capella. Status remains unknown for this series, but Miami, they are clicking on all bells and whistles. Duncan Robinson, Bam Adebayo, Jimmy Butler, Kyle Lowry, and Tyler Hero. Give me your thoughts on this series between Miami and Atlanta.
So Atlanta definitely has had a solid start to the playoffs so far just by making it to this point. They were the ninth seed but managed to win the play-in games they needed to win to get to this point. But the first game in this series really showed just how incredible this Miami Heat team can be, especially on the defensive end. They held the Hawks to 91 points, which, given how explosive Trae Young and the Atlanta Hawks can be on the offensive end, was incredibly impressive in and of itself. The Hawks do have those injury worries, as you mentioned already, especially with Capella, who is going to be huge for theoretically keeping the Heat offense in check. But this Miami team has done an excellent job all season long of filling in despite a number of different players missing time throughout the season due to COVID issues, due to other injury absences. So this Miami Heat team has been really impressive all year long, and them making it to the number one overall seed is really a testament to how well they've played despite the absences that they've had to deal with. So this is definitely going to be a tough series for Atlanta, and we sort of saw that in the first game with a blowout Miami victory.
All right, Nick, I got to ask you this. Who do you expect to win the series? How long is it going to – how many games is it going to go and why?
I think this is probably Miami in five games. I'm guessing that for at least one of these games, Trae Young has an absolutely electric performance and helps to carry this Hawks team to a win, but – Miami has been doing an incredible job all season long of sort of compensating for various absences that they've had, and this is one of the healthiest periods of Miami's season, and they were a great team even when they did have a ton of injury absences. So I think that Miami ultimately wins this series, but I definitely think the Hawks take at least one game, probably one of game three or four in Atlanta goes to the Hawks, but I think that Miami just has too much for Atlanta to be able to handle in this series.
All right, I want to move along now to the next series that we have between the Philadelphia 76ers, the fourth seed, going up against the fifth seed, which is the Toronto Raptors. Again, this series could go either way. We know about Toronto having a very quiet but a very effective regular season with Fred VanVleet, Pascal Siakam, Scottie Barnes. His injury status is unknown. He was hurt in game one. But overall, Toronto, again, some solid stars. And we know about Philly with Joel Embiid winning the scoring title. Boy, Tyrese Maxey is becoming one of the rising stars in the league under the age of 25. And, of course, you've got also with Danny Green, and then you've got Matisse Thybulle, who's a solid defender. And, of course, Philly pulling off the big trade during the trade deadline to get James Harden. Just give me your thoughts on the Sixers-Raptors playoff matchup.
So starting with the Raptors, Toronto was a team that seemed to be pretty clearly out of playoff contention right about halfway slash a third of the way through the season, and excellent team since their sort of slow start. And a lot of that has been due to Scottie Barnes emerging as one of the best young players in the league, and that's been huge for Toronto. So him potentially being injured and or him being injured and potentially being out going to be troubling for the Raptors. On the Philly side, as you mentioned, the big trade for James Harden certainly reshaped their roster, but Tyrese Maxey has really benefited from that. He's been playing spectacular basketball really all season long, but especially since that trade, he's had a number of just spectacular games, and expect that the rest of the games in the series will be a little bit tighter than that game one, but certainly Tyrese Maxey absolutely going off for 38 points in that first game was a huge part of why that ended up being a comfortable win for Philadelphia.
I think the games are going to be tight in this series as well, Nick. All right, so give me your winner of this series. How many games you expect it to go and why?
I am tempted to say Philadelphia in six. I think that this will be a longer series than the Miami-Atlanta series, but I think that ultimately the pieces that Philadelphia has, especially if Toronto ends up missing those three players for longer than a game two absence, I think that Philadelphia has too much for them to overcome. But I think that these two teams are certainly a lot closer in quality than the Miami-Atlanta series. I think that this series may very well go seven, but I'm going to say Philadelphia in six, especially given Toronto's injury absences.
All right, let's move along now to a series that is expected to be a good one between the third seed Milwaukee Bucks, the defending NBA champions, looking to repeat this year as they take on the sixth seed Chicago Bulls. Again, we know about the Bulls with their stars with Nikola Vucevic, DeMar DeRozan, also with Lonzo Ball, Zach LaVine. And you also have on the Milwaukee side, of course, we know about Giannis Antetokounmpo. You know, he is just entering the prime of his career, two-time league MVP, Drew Holiday, Chris Middleton, one of my, probably my favorite player on the Bucks team, Bobby Portis, along with Pat Connaughton. You've got Grayson Allen, who's very nice as well, and Brooke Lopez. Give me your thoughts on this Bucks-Bulls series.
So it's interesting. On the Bulls side, they've kind of been the opposite of Toronto in a lot of ways. Chicago started the season really strong. They were actually the number one seed in the East for a little bit, I think back in December, January, sometime early in the season. And since then, they haven't quite been as good. Now, granted, some of that has been due to injury absences, particularly Lonzo Ball missing for the Bulls has been a huge part of why they haven't been as strong lately. But ultimately, this is a Chicago team who most people, myself included, did not exactly expect to be a playoff contender, and yet they were in the top four for a lot of the season and still ended up finishing as the sixth seed out of the play-in race. So it'll be interesting on that front. On the Milwaukee side, I've been a huge fan of Brooke Lopez for a very long time, ever since he was the centerpiece of some Nets teams that were not exactly all that great around him. But Brooke Lopez being back after missing most of the season for the Bucks due to injury is huge for them. It's helpful on the offensive end to have Brooke Lopez's three-point shooting as a center in there in the rotation, but really the biggest impact that Brooke Lopez makes is on the defensive end. And certainly, even though Nikola Vucevic had a really strong game in the first game of this series, Brooke Lopez is a huge part of why Chicago only scored 86 points in that opening game. And as you mentioned, of course, Giannis Antetokounmpo coming off a championship win last year, finals MVP, multiple-time MVP, was not in the running for the MVP or Defensive Player of the Year awards where the finalists were recently announced, but still someone who, you know, ultimately has had once again a spectacular season, as you mentioned, in the prime of his career and continuing to dominate. And if the Bucks do end up going back-to-back, they will do so, you know, obviously with help from Drew Holiday and Chris Middleton and Brooke Lopez and all the rest of the Bucks that you mentioned, Bobby Portis. But really, it's going to come down to Giannis having another spectacular playoff run if the Bucks are going to end up repeating as champions.
All right, so let's get to it, Nick. Who do you think wins the series and how many games and why?
I think that the Bucks will win this series in, I want to say, six games. I'm tempted to say five games, but I think that the Bulls have it in them, especially given how first that game one was up until the very end. I think that Chicago has enough fight in them to take a couple of games from the Bucks, but I would be very surprised if Milwaukee ends up losing this series. I think it's more likely it goes six than that it goes five, but I would be very surprised if it goes seven games, and even more surprised if Chicago manages to upset Milwaukee in this one.
All right, let's move along now to the last matchup in the Eastern Conference in the first round. And, boy, you talk about an exciting series already. The number two seed Boston Celtics going up against the seventh seed Brooklyn Nets. Brooklyn, I mean, hey, what can you say about the 1-2 punch with Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant? Of course, we know about Kyrie not being able to play in a lot of the Nets' home games for much of the regular season due to the New York City vaccine mandate that's been lifted, so entertainers can participate in their jobs. Now, Kyrie just started playing in Nets' regular season home games towards the end of the regular season, but they were able to punch their ticket into the play-in tournament. They wind up beating the Cleveland Cavaliers. So long story short, Kyrie and KD have been the 1-2 punch for Brooklyn. Also, Seth Curry in the mix, of course, coming through from Philly in the James Harden deal. Ben Simmons is in Brooklyn. We don't know we'll see him this year, but Brooklyn's got KD and Kyrie, and that's for Boston. Jason Tatum, one of the premier stars in the league under the age of 25. You got Jaylen Brown. You've got great veteran leadership with Al Horford also. Marcus Smart is a great potential six man. And so many great talent on Boston. Just give me your thoughts on the Celtics-Nets series.
So this series had the closest game one that we've seen so far. Jason Tatum ended up winning that game on a final second layup, which Boston ended up winning 115-114. This was a very close series in the first game, and I expect it to continue to be close. Brooklyn, as you mentioned, with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, have a serious 1-2 punch, especially if you're talking about on the offensive end, whereas Boston had a bit of a rough patch towards the start of the season, but basically since January, they've been the best defensive team in the NBA by a pretty wide margin and probably the second best team in basketball behind the Phoenix Suns since the start of 2022. So they've got an incredible squad going on their end. Unfortunately for Boston, Robert Williams III got injured shortly before the playoffs, and odds are good that he's going to miss, if not all of the playoffs, then certainly a significant amount of time in the playoffs. And he was a huge part of why their defense was as spectacular as it was. But they still have a ton of great defensive pieces. Al Horford is not exactly as physically capable as he was in his prime, but is still an incredibly smart defender, knows where to be at all times. Marcus Smart as well, someone who always knows where to be on the defensive end, takes on the toughest of assignments with absolutely no qualms about it. Jason Tatum is one of the best two-way players in the league. So the Celtics have a really stacked roster on their end to go up against the Nets, and they've been one of the best teams in basketball since January. So they are one of the teams that has a really good shot of making some noise in these playoffs and maybe even going all the way. And on the flip side, with the Brooklyn Nets, I mean, they're a team that has been talked about as a potential finals contender basically since the former big three of Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and James Harden came together, even though that's now down to a big 2/2.5, depending on how you feel about Ben Simmons. This Brooklyn team has a lot of star power, and they, I think I would predict them to go further in the playoffs if they weren't matching up against Boston in round one, but this round one matchup, as we've already seen in the first game, pits two teams that have a history of not particularly liking each other in a really tight series that should be a ton of fun to watch.
All right, let's get to the verdict, Nick. Who do you think wins the series and how many games and why?
This is definitely the hardest Eastern Conference matchup for me to predict. I'm going to ultimately say Boston in seven, mostly just because that game seven is going to be in Boston, and Boston tends to have a pretty great home court advantage. But I think that these two teams are going to absolutely battle it out in a serious slugfest of a series. I think that Boston ultimately has enough to come out on top in this one, but certainly Brooklyn put up a serious challenge in game one, despite Kevin Durant struggling to put the ball in the basket, which is not something you normally expect from Kevin Durant. So I think that Boston ultimately takes the series in seven, but I could definitely go either way on this one. This is the series in the Eastern Conference that I think will end up being the closest, and certainly was the closest in the first game of the series.
Absolutely. This is going to be the start of something great in the Celtics and Nets series. All right, that takes care of the Eastern Conference. Let's move along now to the Western Conference. Now, in the first round, we've got the number one seed Phoenix Suns going up against the 8-seed New Orleans Pelicans. Now, as far as New Orleans is concerned, a lot of things have happened in such a short amount of time for them in a great way. First off, I think New Orleans was the underrated winner in the trade deadline. We talked about Philly with the Sixers getting Harden, but how about C.J. McCollum coming from Portland to New Orleans and immediately, again, no Zion Williamson, no problem, because the Pelicans have thrived with the duo of C.J. McCollum and Brandon Ingram. And Brandon Ingram, I think, is the most underrated player in the league under the age of 25. So you've got the McCollum and Ingram connection going on. They've been playing well. It was enough to get them in the play-in tournament. They get into the playoffs. And also during the offseason last year at the NBA draft night, the Pelicans and the Grizzlies making a trade. Steven Adams goes to Memphis. Jonas Valanciunas comes to New Orleans, and it's paid off big dividends. And, of course, when you add Jose Alvarado, Herb Jones, and just so many great stars on that team, Jackson Hayes. So the Pelicans go up against the Phoenix Suns. Phoenix, the defending Western Conference champions. They fell short in the NBA Finals last year. We know about DeAndre Ayton, Jay Crowder, Mikal Bridges, Cameron Johnson, Devin Booker. I mean, Devin Booker is a superstar. Again, we talk about those stars under the age of 25. Devin Booker is definitely one of them. And the ageless wonder, Chris Paul. So give me your thoughts on the Suns and Pelicans series.
First of all, starting with the Pelicans, what an incredible season for the New Orleans Pelicans. They started out 1-12, which almost sounds wrong when I repeat it, but they did, in fact, start the season 1-12, and they have not had Zion Williamson all season, and yet somehow from that 1-12 start, they managed to claw their way back into playoff contention. They made the play-in and won two games to make it to this first-round series against the Phoenix Suns. And honestly, even if the season is about to end for the Pelicans, they've just had such a spectacular run up to this point to even sniff the playoffs after their 1-12 start. And a huge part of that has been C.J. McCollum coming over in that trade, as you mentioned. A huge part of that has been Jonas Valanciunas, who was New Orleans' best player in that first game against Phoenix, put up 18 points and somehow grabbed 25 rebounds in that one. So it's been an incredible season for New Orleans even to get to this point. And, you know, a lot of that comes down to, as you mentioned, C.J. McCollum and Brandon Ingram. And Herb Jones has been just absolutely spectacular on the defensive end all season long. And he and Jose Alvarado have been a huge part of why New Orleans managed to turn things around after that terrible, terrible 1-12 start. And then when you look over at the other side, I already mentioned this when talking about Boston and Brooklyn, but Phoenix has been the best team in the NBA basically all season long. Basically, since they started 1-3, they've been clearly the best team in basketball, at least in my eyes. And a huge part of that is Devin Booker, who has continued to show that he is a budding superstar. And as you mentioned already, the ageless wonder, Chris Paul, who put up 30-10 in that game one against the Pelicans and was absolutely huge for Phoenix in the fourth quarter after a third quarter run sort of helped get New Orleans back in the picture in that first game. So it's been an incredible season for New Orleans just to get to this point. And for Phoenix, they've been absolutely dominant basically all year long, and they won this first game. And as we're about to get to, I assume they, I think, have a really good chance of making it not only through the series, but of repeating as Western Conference champions.
All right, here's the verdict. I need the verdict now. Nick. Who wins the series, and how many games, and why?
I want to say Phoenix in four, but I'm going to say Phoenix in five, especially after how New Orleans closed out the second half and actually came close to Phoenix after they looked dead in the water in the first half of game one. I think that New Orleans has put up an incredible amount of fight all season long, and I think they take at least one game off the Suns, but I'm struggling to not pick Suns in four in this one just because they've been so dominant all season long. I think New Orleans grabs one of game three or four in New Orleans, but I would be surprised if this series goes to six or seven games, and I would be absolutely shocked if New Orleans comes back after losing the first game and takes down the reigning Western Conference champions in this series.
All right, that takes care of Phoenix and New Orleans. Let's move along now to the next matchup. The fourth seed Dallas Mavericks go up against the fifth seed Utah Jazz. This is going to be, if we talked about Boston and Brooklyn, I think this is one of the series we need to pay attention to because, again, we've got so many stars. First with Utah, Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert. You've got a Bojan Bogdanovic, Royce Neal, and Mike Conley. And then we've got on the for Dallas, Spencer Dinwiddie, Jalen Brunson, Dorian Finney-Smith. Luka Doncic, we know that Luka, again, I mentioned about one of the top superstars under the age of 25. Luka is up there, and Luka is a future talent. Luka's hurt, and we don't know the status of him going forward. He's not a LeBron James where he spends over $1 million on his body. He's someone that relies on his talent, but this is going to be in my opinion, a fantastic series. Just give me your take on the Jazz and Mavericks series.
So, as you mentioned, Luka Doncic being injured is a huge bellwether for the direction of this series. Two teams in the first round so far where the lower seed actually took the first game of the series, and I think that this series will ultimately swing on when or if Luka gets back on the floor, because I think that if Luka is playing, he's shown in previous playoffs that he can absolutely take over a series, even come close to beating teams that have much more talent than his Maverick teams have had in previous playoff series by just absolutely dominating those games. And without Luka, Dallas struggles offensively when Luka Doncic is not in the game and not able to play. So that, I think, will be a huge bellwether for the series. But, I mean, on the Utah side, Donovan Mitchell really sort of announced himself as a future superstar in the bubble in 2020, where he and Jamal Murray had two of the greatest playoff series we've ever seen from anyone. And certainly in game one of this series, Donovan Mitchell, 32-6-6, definitely carried this Utah team on the offensive end. And Rudy Gobert, as you mentioned, helped the Jazz to absolutely dominate Dallas on the boards. They rebounded them. For me, I think the big thing to watch going forward in this series is how quickly does Luka get back on the court, and does he get back on the court at all? Because if he doesn't come back until, say, game four, it could already be a 2-1 or even a 3-0 series in Utah's favor by that point, which would obviously be very difficult to overcome. So really, I think on Dallas's side, Spencer Dinwiddie has been huge for them since they picked him up in the trade with Washington around the trade deadline. And Jalen Brunson has been spectacular this year, and he will also be a huge part of sort of keeping this Dallas team afloat. But I think ultimately, if Dallas is going to end up winning this series, they're going to need Luka back as soon as possible.
All right, so give me the verdict, Nick. Who wins the series and how many games and why?
I think that Utah will end up taking this in six. I think that especially if Luka is going to be out for game two as well, that really will help Utah's chances in taking that one. And if Utah is up 2-0 on the Mavericks going into games three and four, then I think that Dallas is really going to struggle to end up winning the series. I think that these two teams are pretty close, even without Luka playing. I think that Utah is a better team, especially if Luka does continue to sit on the sidelines. And I think that given that Luka is unlikely for game two, it seems like he probably won't be back until sort of midway through the series, at which point I think Utah's advantage will be too large for Dallas to overcome. So I think that Utah will take this series in six, but this series could easily flip on its head if Luka comes back for game three in this one.
All right, and that takes care of the Mavericks and the Jazz. Let's move along now to the next series, which I think is going to be another show stealer as well. We have the third seed Golden State Warriors going up against the sixth seed Denver Nuggets. Let's start off with Golden State for a moment. Injuries have plagued this team for much of the year. Steph got hurt right after the trade deadline, and he would miss the remainder of the regular season. Draymond Green made the All-Star team, didn't play due to an injury. He's still trying to find his way back. Klay Thompson wound up tearing both of his ACLs within a two-year span. He's been the one that's kind of carried the Warriors for much of the year. They wind up getting the third seed. And then you have Jordan Poole, who has emerged as a prominent and emerging star in the league. And, of course, we got Andrew Wiggins making his first All-Star team. Denver, again, Jamal Murray, he may play in this series. We don't know what the status is concerned. Aaron Gordon came through in the trade deadline last year. And, of course, Nikola Jokic, the reigning MVP. I mean, what more can you say about him? Give me your thoughts on the Warriors-Nuggets series.
So this is a really interesting series, especially since Golden State has an excellent defense, but they also don't really have a seven-footer who you can sort of see is the most reasonable candidate to be thrown onto Nikola Jokic in an attempt to slow him down. On the Warriors' side, it is definitely great for them that their big three of Clay, Steph, and Draymond are all healthy at this point, all playing. Now, granted, Steph only came back, as you mentioned, for this game one, missed the end of the regular season, but the Warriors certainly had help from Jordan Poole, who put up 30 points in his playoff debut to sort of make up for the fact, in a way, that Steph was sort of coming back into the fold, not at his healthiest. On the Denver side, it would be huge for them if Jamal Murray can come back, but he's also missed a ton of time after he suffered a serious injury last season. So it'll be interesting to see if Murray does come back. But really, for Denver, if they're going to end up winning this series, they're going to need absolutely dominant performances from Nikola Jokic. If Denver is going to end up coming out on top in this one, they're just going to need much better play from Jokic.
All right, so we need the verdict, Nick. Who wins the series and how many games and why?
I think that the Warriors take this one in six. I think that Jokic will have two dominant games and the Nuggets will probably win those two dominant games. But I think given what we've seen in the first game of the series, the Warriors can just put out lineups that other teams absolutely can't deal with. And, you know, they've continued to do that basically since the innovation of the death lineup a few years ago. And ultimately, don't think that Denver has enough outside of Jokic to keep up with the Warriors' offensive attack. And I think that they have the clear advantage in this series. I think that Denver takes one or two games. I'm going to say two games just based on the dominance of Nikola Jokic more than anything else. But I think the Warriors are the better team, and I think they'll show that over the course of what I assume will be a six-game series.
All right, that takes care of the Warriors and Nuggets. And for the final playoff series in the Western Conference, we have the number 2 seed Memphis Grizzlies going up against the number 7 seed Minnesota Timberwolves. Basically, the future of the NBA is going to go up against one another. We've got Minnesota's Anthony Edwards, and we talked about stars under the age of 25 from Minnesota, Anthony Edwards, and from Memphis, of course, Ja Morant. We know what a talent he is, and also for Minnesota, Karl Anthony Towns, and we've got D'Angelo Russell, and of course, Patrick Beverley. I mean, who is a premier defender, and is kind of like the engine that goes for that team. We talk about Draymond Green being that engine for Golden State, but for Minnesota, it's Patrick Beverley. And then also for Memphis, I mentioned Ja Morant, Desmond Bane, who provides the three-point shooting for them. You've got Dylan Brooks, Steven Adams, who came over to Memphis from the trade during the offseason on draft night last year from New Orleans. Jaren Jackson Jr. led the league in blocks last year, so they're all fully capable of getting it done on both sides of the ball. Just give me your thoughts on the Grizzlies-Timberwolves series.
So I mentioned during the Utah-Dallas discussion that Utah was one of the lower-seeded teams, one of the two lower-seeded teams that won the Game 1 matchup, and the other was Minnesota, who took Game 1 from Memphis on the backs of Anthony Edwards and Karl Anthony Towns, who put up 65 points together. Anthony Edwards putting up 36 points in his playoff debut, one of the highest-scoring playoff debuts of all time. If I'm remembering correctly, it was, I think, second highest scoring playoff debut of all time, which is spectacularly impressive, but also not that far out of line from what we've seen from Anthony Edwards, who certainly this year has started to put it together more after struggling to score efficiently during the first few months of his rookie year. He's really been on an absolute tear basically since February of his rookie season, honestly, and he was a huge part of Minnesota ending up picking that game one, winning in an upset over this Grizzly squad. And he and Karl Anthony Towns were huge in that game. And as you mentioned, Patrick Beverley, just a huge injection of energy to this Minnesota squad. And based on his post-game comments in multiple Minnesota games, first after they won the playoff game and play-in game, rather, and secured their playoff spot, and then, you know, after their game one victory, he's clearly someone who drives this Memphis team, you know, maybe not in terms of putting up 36 points like, say, Anthony Edwards, but certainly a huge part of why this Minnesota squad has been what they've been over the past few months. And then you look over at the Memphis side, I mean, they are a team who very recently was at the bottom of the league, and then they picked up Ja Morant, and they've just been on a steady climb to the playoffs ever since. And them being the 2 seed in the Western Conference was, I think, sooner than most people expected in terms of them sort of rising to prominence. But this is a team that won 56 games in the regular season, which is spectacularly impressive, especially since Ja Morant actually missed a decent chunk of games for Memphis, and they still continue to be one of the best squads in the league, even when Ja Morant was sidelined. So this is going to be a very interesting series, and certainly was not the game one result that I expected, with Minnesota pulling out a double-digit win. But Minnesota's double-digit win in the first game definitely does not do enough justice to how good this Memphis team has been all year long, and I certainly expect the rest of the series to be closer than that and more in Memphis's favor than that game one ended up.
All right, Nick, who wins the series and how many games and why?
I think that Memphis takes this in 7. I would have said 6 if they hadn't lost the first game. I think that Memphis just has such a deep squad of talent. I mean, obviously, Ja Morant at the top, but, you know, they also have Desmond Bain, as you mentioned, who's had a huge, huge second year in the NBA. And, you know, Jaren Jackson Jr., as you mentioned, leading the league in blocks. Steven Adams, someone who's always been incredibly solid force down low. But they also just have an incredibly deep bench of players. You know, they have Kyle Anderson, who is someone who's been an incredible force on the defensive end and someone who is surprisingly good, honestly, at leading the offense when he does have the ball in his hands. I mean, they have Brandon Clark, they have Tyus Jones, who once again led the league in assist-to-turnover ratio, just one of the best backup point guards in the league, someone who you can always trust to make the right play when he's on the floor. And this Memphis squad, you know, they also have Dylan Brooks, who did miss a decent amount of time this season with injury, but sort of similar to Patrick Beverley in someone who just provides a ton of positive energy for his team and tends to annoy the other team a bit, but definitely someone who provides a huge boost to his squad. I mean, this Memphis team is just so deep across the board that I expect that they will have the talent to come out on top in this first round series, but Minnesota certainly made more of a challenge than I would have expected in that first game. And if Anthony Edwards and Karl-Anthony Towns continue to be as hot for the rest of the series as they were in the first game, they will definitely challenge this Grizzly squad. But I think that Memphis is just ultimately too deep for the Timberwolves to be able to overcome the talent that they have on that roster.
Solid. And that takes care of the Western Conference playoff matchups in the first round. Now, Nick, you mentioned about Boston and Brooklyn being a highlight matchup in the Eastern Conference. And, of course, you mentioned about Memphis and Minnesota. But are there any other matchups in this first round of the playoffs that could steal the show aside from those matchups?
I think that the most likely matchup to steal the show besides those two would be the Golden State-Denver matchup, because ultimately, Golden State, as we very well know from the past, you know, 6-7 years or so, they're a team that can absolutely catch on fire and just put together some of the most aesthetically pleasing basketball that we've ever seen. And on the Denver side, I mean, Nikola Jokic has just been an incredible force in the league for a few years now. And while Golden State does have a serious defensive talent, one of the best defensive players ever in my mind in Draymond Green, he's not someone who you expect to be matched up regularly on Nikola Jokic. So the Warriors don't really have a giant center who can contain Nikola Jokic, especially with James Wiseman being out with injury. So I think that that Golden State-Denver series could turn into some serious fireworks if Jokic has better games going forward than he did in game one of that series. So that's definitely a series that I think could heat up and get very interesting in a hurry.
All right, and you heard it from him. He is Nick Agar Johnson. He is a writer for No Ceilings NBA, hashtag basketball, also Nets Republic, and the host of the co-host, I should say, of the NBA Deep Dives podcast. Nick, again, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. Just tell everybody what you do at No Ceilings, hashtag basketball, Nets Republic, and, of course, of the NBA Deep Dives podcast.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me. And yes, as you mentioned, I am working over at No Ceilings NBA. I should have my next article in my Sleeper Deep Dive series going up this Thursday. So please check that out if you're interested. And also just check out No Ceilings NBA if you're interested at all in NBA draft coverage. And as you mentioned as well, I also do work over at hashtag basketball and at Nets Republic, as well as hosting the NBA Deep Dives podcast on the Hashtag Basketball Podcast Network. So you can find all of my work on my Twitter page at NBAJOHNFON, and I will post all of my work on my Twitter page at some point, so you can find it all there. And NBA Deep Dives podcast, we will have a new episode that should be published late tomorrow evening, so definitely check that out as well. And, yeah, that's where you can find all of my work.
Awesome. And one more time, Nick, tell everybody where they can find you on social media as well as No Ceilings, hashtag basketball, Nets Republic, NBA Deep Dives podcast. And any websites that you have, let them know that as well.
Absolutely. So Nets Republic is at Nets Republic on Twitter. Hashtag basketball is at #basketball on Twitter, and then No Ceilings NBA at No Ceilings NBA, and then websites hashtag basketball.com, NetsRepublic.com, NoCeilingsNBA.com as well. And again, all of my work goes up on my personal Twitter page at NBAJOHNSON.
Awesome. And you heard it from him. He is Nick Agar Johnson. He's a writer for No Ceilings, also hashtag basketball and Nets Republic, and co-host of the NBA Deep Dives podcast alongside Tyler Metcalf. Check out their great work. Nick, again, thank you so much, my man. And if ever you want to come back on, feel free to let us know.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me. Always fun to talk basketball with you.
Same here. Same here. And we'll be back with more right after this.
145 over 92.
180 over 111.
182 over 100. And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest and then a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure looks like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a heart attack or stroke are far from invisible or silent.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
I can't button up a shirt. I can't run.
I've had to learn to swallow again.
That's the only movement that I have. And I'm 33, so I never see this coming.
If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
Had I done this, had I done that, hell, I messed up.
Get back on your plan or talk with your doctor to create an exercise, diet, and medication plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Head to toe, everything's changed. Head to toe.
Flexible consulting solutions for a changing world. That's Protiviti. Results driven and committed to you. That's Protiviti. Global business consulting used by 70% of the Fortune 1000. That's Protiviti. Protiviti.com/shape.
On a cold February morning in Indianapolis, Tony Caritsas woke up, got dressed, loaded his sawed-off shotgun, and drove to his bank. He wasn't there to steal anything. He was there to take his life back. American Hostage is a new podcast starring me, John Hamm, that tells the true story of one man who channeled the rage of a nation and took justice into his own hands. Follow American Hostage wherever you get your podcasts, or you can binge all 8 episodes right now on Amazon Music or Wondery Plus. On a cold February morning in Indianapolis, Tony Caritsas woke up, got dressed, loaded his sawed-off shotgun, and drove to his bank. He wasn't there to steal anything. He was there to take his life back. American Hostage is a new podcast starring me, John Hamm, that tells the true story of one man who channeled the rage of a nation and took justice into his own hands. Follow American Hostage wherever you get your podcasts, or you can binge all 8 episodes right now on Amazon Music or Wondery Plus. On a cold February morning in Indianapolis, Tony Caritsas woke up, got dressed, loaded his sawed-off shotgun, and drove to his bank. He wasn't there to steal anything. He was there to take his life back. American Hostage is a new podcast starring me, John Hamm, that tells the true story of one man who channeled the rage of a nation and took justice into his own hands. Follow American Hostage wherever you get your podcasts, or you can binge all 8 episodes right now on Amazon Music or Wondery Plus.
Information. You're always connected and informed. So if you're diabetic and still using old technology and finger sticks, what are you waiting for? U.S. Med carries the highest quality continuous glucose monitors, which provide real-time readings of blood glucose levels. U.S. Med is an approved provider for Medicare and over 500 private insurers. Visit usmed.com/radio today. That's usmed.com/radio today and manage your diabetes as easy as... That's the ease at which you get information. You're always connected and informed. So if you're diabetic and still using old technology and finger sticks, what are you waiting for? U.S. Med carries the highest quality continuous glucose monitors, which provide real-time readings of blood glucose levels. U.S. Med is an approved provider for Medicare and over 500 private insurers. Visit usmed.com/radio today. That's usmed.com/radio today and manage your diabetes as easy as...
That's the ease at which you get information. You're always connected and informed. No waiting. So if you're living with diabetes and still using old tech and finger sticks to read your blood sugar, what are you waiting for? U.S. Med carries continuous glucose monitors, which provide real-time readings of blood glucose levels and accepts Medicare and over 800 private insurers. Call 1-888-USMED-65 today. That's 1-888-USMED-65 today. And manage your diabetes as easy as...
That's the ease at which you get information. You're always connected and informed. So if you're diabetic and still using old technology and finger sticks, what are you waiting for? U.S. Med carries the highest quality continuous glucose monitors, which provide real-time readings of blood glucose levels. U.S. Med is an approved provider for Medicare and over 500 private insurers. Visit usmed.com/radio today. That's usmed.com/radio today and manage your diabetes as easy as...
That's the ease at which you get information. You're always connected and informed. No waiting. So if you're living with diabetes and still using old tech and finger sticks to read your blood sugar, what are you waiting for? U.S. Med carries continuous glucose monitors, which provide real-time readings of blood glucose levels and accepts Medicare and over 800 private insurers. Call 1-888-USMED-65 today. That's 1-888-USMED-65 today. And manage your diabetes as easy as...
Oh, hey, kiddo. How was the hill?
Educational.
Oh, learn a new trick?
Yeah, the trick to a happy, fulfilling life, maybe. I learned that mountain air unleashes my inner peace. And rip and pow, well, the whole crew's all, yoo, induces spontaneous joy.
Okay, that's nice.
The Icon Pass lets you do you at 50 destinations worldwide from $249 adults. Drop in for next winter now and save at IconPass.com.
Stop avoiding your erectile dysfunction issue. Peak Performance for Men is offering your best offer yet. Call today to book your free consultation and free blood flow evaluation. 1-800-210-8181. Peak Performance for Men helps over 80% of men who receive the treatment experience long-term improvement. Let the experts at Peak Performance for Men help you today. All it takes is one phone call for a free consultation. Free blood flow evaluation. Call 1-800-210-8181. That's 1-800-210-8181. Stop avoiding your erectile dysfunction issue. Peak Performance for Men is offering your best offer yet. Call today to book your free consultation and free blood flow evaluation. 1-800-210-8181. Peak Performance for Men helps over 80% of men who receive the treatment experience long-term improvement. Let the experts at Peak Performance for Men help you today. All it takes is one phone call for a free consultation. Free blood flow evaluation. Call 1-800-210-8181. That's 1-800-210-8181.
I might lean back with my feet on the desk to look calm, but in my head I'm wondering, how do I deal with the business side of my new sneaker business?
Hey, it's me, your voice of reason, telling you to get QuickBooks.
Something's telling me I should get QuickBooks.
So you can get paid, run payroll, and know where your business stands from the start.
So I can get paid, run payroll, and know where my business stands from the start.
Now focus on your anniversary, which is tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
New business, no problem. Success starts with Intuit QuickBooks. QuickBooks Payroll, QuickBooks Payments, and QuickBooks Online Account required.
right, everybody, welcome back to the program. Again, a big special thank you to Nick Agar-Johnson, co-host of the NBA Deep Dives podcast and the writer for No Ceilings, hashtag basketball and Nets Republic, giving us the insight on the preview of the 2022 NBA playoffs first round matchup. So before we get on out of here, we want to say congratulations to Marcus Smart from the Boston Celtics for winning the NBA Defensive Player of the Year. The other finalists in this category with him were Mikal Bridges from the Phoenix Suns and Rudy Gobert from the Utah Jazz. But again, congratulations to Marcus Smart from the Boston Celtics for winning the NBA Defensive Player of the Year. And that's going to do it for this special edition of At the Rim. Again, a big special thank you to Nick Fay, host of the Brooklyn Buzz, a Brooklyn Nets podcast, and a contributor for Off the Glass, and Nick Agar-Johnson, co-host of the NBA Deep Dives podcast, and a writer for No Ceilings, hashtag basketball, and Nets Republic. Until next time, I'm Ed Robinson, and you've been listening to At the Rim. So long, everyone.